T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our NFL insider, we call him whenever there's NFL happenings, and there certainly are. The news never stops in the National Football League. Hub Arkish joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, home of F-150s for $229 per month. Hey, Hub.
How you doing, Danny?
Doing great. What did you think of Ty Dunn's piece on Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers for Bleacher Report?
Well, you know, there certainly was a ton in it. There's no question about that. I don't think that there can be any disputing that Aaron Rodgers is a complete tool. I really felt that Mike McCarthy was probably treated rather unfairly. The issue I had with it, guys, is that there is a place in news for anonymous sources. I mean, I use them, happens all the time. But when I hear people complimenting Tyler Dunn, who, by the way, is an excellent reporter, and I'm not trying to take him on in any way, you know, he followed his direction and wrote this piece. But I hear people complimenting him because he got three players with clear agendas to go on the record. The damage was done by the dozens of anonymous sources who weren't reporting news. Those were character attacks. And now we've heard both McCarthy and Rodgers come out and dispute it vehemently. We really don't know where the truth is. As I said at the top, we know enough to know that Rodgers is just not a good guy. But it didn't set well with me. I know a lot of people are fascinated by this look behind the curtain. If even, you know, four or five of those, you know, dozen plus anonymous sources had put their name on it, we could ask them some questions, I'd say fine. But I don't know what to make of it at this point.
You're going hard on Aaron Rodgers here, and our antenna are up. It's interesting to hear you, because I don't remember that type of verbiage coming from you before the Bleacher Report story. Have you your opinion obviously is not as high as it once was.
Well, Mac, my opinion of him as a player has always been through the roof, but as an individual. I go back to when the story first came out about him disowning his family, his parents, you know, brothers and sisters, and none of them knowing why. That was enough to write him off in my book, you know, and that was years ago at this point. I've done an unusual number of Packers games on the sidelines, both in Lambeau and other places, you know, at least a dozen during the McCarthy-Rodgers era, and I've actually had pretty good experience with McCarthy. I personally have had a good experience with Rodgers as far as him being interviewable and saying interesting things. But I've also observed enough exchanges and whatever with him and teammates and to know I'm sure he's not the best guy in the world. But again, that's as far as I'm going to go with it. You know, some of the things that he's accused of in there are pretty awful. And I don't buy his explanation about because he was given, you know, the 2-minute drill and occasionally given, you know, hurry up and multiple plays to choose from, that it seemed like he was overruling, you know, McCarthy. There's substantial evidence that he was changing too many play calls. And so what are we going to do now? Are we going to criticize McCarthy or say he's a bad coach because the quarterback wasn't doing what he told him to do? You know, there's one anonymous report in there where one player said, you know, we'd work on like 20 new plays every week and then Rodgers wouldn't call any of them. And so I don't know if McCarthy was doing a bad coaching job or Rodgers was undercutting him. But I'm troubled by the amount of anonymous sourcing in what was really kind of a character assassination more than a news report.
Hub Arkish with us on the score. I mean, there were six other teams that had openings this year and didn't interview or hire Mike McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And on the family stuff with Aaron Rodgers, it seems to me much more likely that the family would be disgruntled with the 9-figure wealth quarterback and the brother who was on the reality TV show and gets headlines from attaching himself to Aaron Rodgers
than the other way around. Like, I was uncomfortable with the reporting around Aaron Rodgers and his family more so than I was with Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy are both public figures, and at least JerMichael Finley, Greg Jennings, Ryan Grant, people put their name on it. With the family reporting, that felt like personal squabbles that no one really knows the whole story of.
You know, Danny, again, I don't know their family business. I can't get involved. I do know that this happened well before the latest contract. Don't know anything about his brother.
He was on The Bachelor. He's on SEC Network. He wants to be a star, and he's not Aaron Rodgers.
This is a problem between my wife and I, because to me, anybody who has any role on The Bachelor or Bachelorette is instantly unbelievable and kind of the fact that people do that in public disgusts me. But you know, that's a different story for a different time.
But so that's a point for Aaron Rodgers.
There goes Hub hosting with me when you're gone next, Parkins, because I want to get real personal with him.
I'm not choosing sides here. I'm not saying, you know, that his family's not any better than he is. But
well, you said he's a tool and you wrote him off because of the family stuff.
I said that was one of the reasons. I said he's a well-known tool. As far as the family stuff, and I will include that, I'm not backing off it, you don't disown your parents. I'm sorry. You know, but whatever happened, I'd like to know exactly what it was before I'm going to say it's okay to disown your parents.
It could be justifiable. Huh?
I'm sure it could be, Dan, but it'd be pretty unusual, and I'd sure like to know what it was.
Stick around for the Mother's Day show I'm planning on doing.
I'll do that.
Thank you, Mom, for nothing.
Interesting. So what do people around the league – who do you think people around the league, this story comes out, this story doesn't come out, if they're going to say McCarthy or Rodgers or both, what do you think the league sentiment is of people who know both?
Well, I think the league sentiment is that there's some element and truth of all of it, and some of it went too far. I know that the natural instinct of people in the league is that the anonymous sourcing, the level of it is really going to bother them. I mean, you just mentioned JerMichael Finley, Greg Jennings, and Ryan Grant, who all have well-known agendas that go back 3, 4, 5 years on this. They're the only ones that have their names on it. I think having any names is better than none. But all this other stuff about what, you know, McCarthy was allegedly doing and not doing, and not a single, you know, person willing to put their name on that, that's just troublesome to me. But I can tell you, you know, go ask any 15 players or coaches, and 13 or 14 of them are going to be really upset about the amount of anonymous sourcing in the story. Not to say, I don't know what their opinions of McCarthy and Rodgers are, but don't make too much of the fact that McCarthy didn't get a job this year. If he doesn't get a job next year, then you're on to something, okay? But a lot of coaches, it's pretty rare to find a John Fox, you know, who gets fired and then immediately gets hired again, in that case, within a week or two.
You know, one of the things Rodgers talked about, Hub, was how, of course, there were issues with McCarthy in their personal relationship. It was a long-standing relationship, and I think most of us would agree with that. I don't know if you've ever seen, and in particular, head coach, quarterback at the pro level, a relationship that exceeded 5 years, and there was success, and that relationship continued to be every bit as phase A as it was when they started together. Head coaches and quarterbacks famously don't get along, and they shouldn't get along. You have to share opinions, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the obvious example and the one that exceeds this is Belichick and Brady, and they've never been best friends, and they have their moments. You know, that kind of stuff is going to happen, but to have the kind of success that they've had is more important to them than their personal feelings. And to me, that's a simple and very justifiable explanation right there for how McCarthy and Rodgers could have stayed together and had this success, even if it's as bad as is painted in that article. I do know that, you know, what we're leaving out here is a number of their ex-teammates, players, depending on who we're talking about, who came out immediately afterwards and all pretty much said, yeah, where was I when this was going on?
Yep.
This is a lot of crap. I didn't hear any teammate come out afterwards and say, yep, there's the story. Wish I had told it. You know, so that's the way people in the league are going to react to this.
So Parkins is speculating, well, what happens now the first time we've got B-roll of LaFleur and Rodgers having a spirited discussion on the sideline? Do you think there's anything Rodgers should do proactively to preclude that narrative?
Well,
I don't know how you do.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is going to get into what they're doing right now. Well, they can't actually have any contact until April 15th. But once they start the off-season program, it's going to be very important for the two of them to work that out. But this is where I come back. This is the reason I mentioned the number of their games that I did, where I was 10, 15, 20 feet away from these guys and watched them having interaction, discussing strategy, you know, sometimes smiling, sometimes scowling, never saw anybody, you know, seemingly yelling, never saw one walk away from the other in disgust. You know, none of that was obvious, at least during games. I haven't really spent much time around their practices. So, but you see it on every sideline where there's going to be, you know, heated discussion and disagreement. So I don't think Rodgers and LaFleur can really worry about that much. You know, Rodgers did make one great point. If he's anywhere near as bad as he's painted in that story, why did they give him the contract, and why don't they consider moving on? You know, he can't be that bad. You know, right. you don't give that guy whatever he got, $180 million.
Probably because he's the most talented quarterback in the history of the sport.
Well, but look at what it's done to what it potentially is doing to the franchise now. You know, so you're right, Danny. I mean, how do you move on from Aaron Rodgers? It would be a really tough thing to do, but you certainly would get a wealth of assets in return. You know, and
yeah.
if you believe that Rodgers is so poisoned now that he's going to be a reason you can't win, it's the smart thing to do. Obviously, you know, Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst still believe that they can build a championship team with Aaron Rodgers, and so they're obviously not buying into all of this.
Top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Michigan State, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Okay, so because Bears fans, there's nothing they love more than hearing Aaron Rodgers called a tool. So other than the family stuff and other than what was in this Ty Dunn story, what contributes to you calling Aaron Rodgers a tool?
Well, the clear disrespect he had for his head coach's leadership, because one thing, I mean, I've known about this for years, that is not in debate, is the number of times he would change play calls and just ignore his coach. I mean, he was not, you know, being a good player in the player-coach relationship, so, and didn't seem to care. You know, beyond that, there have been other interactions, both off the field and with members of the organization, where he's come out looking, you know, exceptionally arrogant, exceptionally unreasonable, exceptionally self-centered, you know. So, as I said right at the top, believe me, I'm not defending Aaron Rodgers. I have too much respect for Tyler Dunn. I mean, he wouldn't have done that story if he really didn't believe that it was justified. And so I think that in itself, as I said, I'm a lot more concerned for the way McCarthy comes out looking in this thing than Rodgers.
I want to ask you about Dunn, and I wasn't in newspaper long enough, nor at a high enough level to garner enough experience to really know the answer to the question, so I'll ask it. You said that the anonymity about character issues is troublesome to you. If it's news, that's one thing, but anonymity for character assassinations, you want no part of that. So if you're writing a story, Hub, and a half a dozen ball players tell you, I'll contribute, Hub, but I don't want my name attached to it, and there's some uniformity, and a half a dozen of them barbecue the athlete about whom you're writing, do you run that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you, as the editor, I have to trust my reporter. And as a reporter, I have to have a sense of fairness about this. And if I've got a half a dozen guys, is the number you picked, who I trust. I mean, again, I've been working around. Tyler Dunn was on the beat for 10 years. So, you know, he knows these guys. Can he trust that they're not setting him up or using him? You know, obviously, he was comfortable with that. But I now, as the reader or as the fan or whoever I may be, I don't even know who's making these accusations. So how can I form an opinion on the truth of them? I told the guys, I was at the Zach Miller presentation today, talking to some of the other guys on the beat, and a couple of them, you know, were saying, oh, what a great story it was. And I told them, if I was the editor on that story, I wouldn't have run it that way. I would have told them, you got to get at least a couple more guys who don't have known agendas like the three you quoted to go on the record, or at least I would have edited it. What was the word, like 15,000 words?
it was long as hell.
Story I ever read, you know, and again, all that anonymous sourcing for all those words. So I would have either taken a pretty serious surgeon's knife to it or even questioned whether we could run it again, because this was not anonymous sources reporting news or discussing facts. This was anonymous sources offering opinions about people. And to me, that's where this all gets very, very gray.
Well, the thing that I found most interesting journalistically was that there was one anonymous source, the high-ranking personnel person, who spoke on both sides of the article, which suggested to me that the article in some ways had been fed from on high. And the anecdote, which was quoted, was from the anonymous source about the call that Mark Murphy made to Aaron Rodgers about the Matt LaFleur hiring, basically saying, you know, don't be a problem, when Rodgers paused on the other end of the phone. The list of people that would know how the conversation between Mark Murphy and Aaron Rodgers went when Matt LaFleur is hired is a very, very short list, Hub. Yeah. So assuming Ty Dunn didn't make it up, and I have no doubt that he didn't make it up, I feel like that source was a very high-ranking official with the Green Bay Packers who characterized that phone call.
I would agree with the way you're characterizing it, but Rodgers has denied that that happened, and Mark Murphy hasn't confirmed it. So you're right. If it was said, it had to come from somebody who would know, but Rodgers is saying that nobody ever said that to him. And Murphy, to my knowledge, has not confirmed that he did. So again, this is the problem with this anonymous sourcing. I don't know. You know, I just don't know.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Advanced Heart Care at North Shore University Health System. Healthcare for what's next.
As we enjoy the Green Bay Packers soap opera, I should take this opportunity. Hub, you and I are both friends with a bunch of members of that 85 Bears team, which has had its share of soap operas over the years. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be refreshed this summer when Dennis McKinnon's new book hits bookstore shelves. Because he has some not so flattering things to say about some teammates, and he's on the record. It's his book,
right.
So it's looking forward to that, because that never ends either with those guys.
It doesn't, but we're going to have two significant advantages, as you just pointed out. We know most of these guys fairly well, and so it's going to be pretty easy to know what's reasonable and what's not. But more to the point, Dennis is putting his name on it, you know, so I certainly defend his right to do that. And then it's up to the individual to decide if they want to believe McKinnon or not. Again, going back to this Dunn story, is that we don't even know who we're being asked to believe. So to me, that there is a difference there. You know, listen, I know there's a lot of folks who've had a belly full of the 85 Bears. I could never get enough. You know, I mean, I lived it. It was my first year as part of the broadcast team. You know, sometimes as much as you want to move on, there are so many great stories. I'm anxious to hear the stories that McKinnon is going to tell.
I never will move on from it. People have the freedom to punch the button if we're ever discussing it. And, you know, if you missed out on it, too bad for you. I'm sorry you missed out. They were the Rolling Stones in shoulder pads, and it was the greatest individual championship this city ever had.
Well, and for what it's worth, guys, back in those days, we traveled with the team. I mean, I was on the plane. I was in the hotel. I have a number of stories I've never told because it's not my place to tell them. You know, but I certainly enjoyed them, and I think that what fans have to understand is that these are people, you know, like everybody else. They're blessed with great athletic ability. They're great football players. But they're people, you know, and they have faults. And so a lot of this stuff comes out. I actually, to be honest with you, I wasn't aware Dennis had a book coming out, but I love him. And so now I'm anxious to see it. I look forward to that.
Best story from the 1985 Bears team plane that you can tell.
Well, I can't think that there's a couple from the plane that I won't tell, but I will tell this one because I don't think it'll offend anybody. It was at the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and it was Thursday night. And I was half walking, half stumbling, half crawling back to my hotel at about 2:30 in the morning, heading out of the French Quarter.
Winston hanging out of his mouth.
And heading out Marlboro. and I never got Winston's. I didn't understand anybody could smoke those.
I thought you were a Winston.
I was a Marlboro guy. And by the way, folks, I quit 30 years ago, and don't start if you haven't, and quit now if you haven't. But at any rate, I'm crawling back to the hotel. It's like 2:30, 2:45 in the morning. And here come, it was Hilgi. It was Thayer, and I want to say it was Horn. And I'm like, where are you guys going? And they're like, we're going to make sure Bortsy's not in any trouble. And so, you know, and by the way, those guys were not the wild, you know, members of that football team, you know. And, but it was a different time. The game was different. You know, it's not like this world. But those guys, they knew how to have a good time. And by the way, the guy who knew best how to have a good time was their head coach. So,
all right, a couple of Bears notes real quick. You mentioned you were at the Zach Miller press conference, and he did not say that he's retired. But he's retired, right?
Someone should tell him he's retired.
He was very, realistic and open about it. He said that he's very close to finalizing it. He said it has to be before training camp because he doesn't want to hold the team up. And he talked about some of the issues he still is struggling with in everyday life. So, and he actually, I can't remember exactly what his words were, but he basically said it's a tough thing to finally you know, accept and move on from.
Sure.
He knows, and he was talking about, again, just the inability to do day-to-day things, let alone to train and be a football player again. So I think that, you know, maybe there is some miraculous hope in the back of his mind, but he'll be announcing it in the next, couple months, and I think he's very realistic about where he's at.
And then for a couple of hours on Twitter today, there was a report that the 49ers had interest in Steven Gostkowski, the free agent kicker. Mm-hmm. The Patriots, since you've been on the phone with us, have re-signed him to a two-year deal. So the dream of Robbie Gould coming back to the Bears, if the Niners for some reason got Gostkowski, dies in just those couple of hours. Do you have any update on a sense of what's actually going to happen with kicker?
Well, first of all, I think you're right. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not dead yet because Robbie hasn't signed the tender. And I've been a little surprised to hear some of the things I've heard in the last month or so, not from Robbie, I haven't talked to him, but other folks about things not all being that great in San Francisco. We think about, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and that first season and the winning streak at the end of Garoppolo. But the ownership there is not great. And apparently it's not the place or the number one destination in the league. And as long as Robbie hasn't signed that tender, I think there is a chance. Now, he's not going to walk away from $5 million, and they're probably not going to find a better option. So I'm not suggesting the goal to be back, but I wouldn't, rule it out until we know that he's ruled it out, which I think is what's going on now. As far as anything else with the kicker, right now you got Redford Jones and Chris Blewett and this kid that was in the, it's fascinating to me. The NFL, I think it was a week ago today or whenever the announcement came that the AAF was suspending, NFL puts out an announcement to all 32 teams, do not make contact with any players, and inside of 10 minutes, teams are signing players. So there's a kicker, I don't even remember his name, but I think he was on the San Diego team that I know the Bears have great interest in, who they want to bring in. But I don't think that at any time you're going to see more than two or three kickers on the roster. So if they were to work out an AAF kicker, and they decided they wanted him, they'd probably release either, Blewett or Jones. If there's a street veteran, an NFL veteran that they think is a better option, they'd release one of the kids. You have a problem just running your off-season program, your training camp, when you're giving away roster spots to place kickers and punters. So I think that you're only going to see two on the roster at any one time, but don't assume by any means that they won't be, swapping some of those guys out between now and getting to Bourbon A.
Great stuff, Hub. Thank you.
Enjoyed it, Hub. Have a good day.
Take care, guys.
That's Hub Arkish. If you missed Joe Maddon earlier, we'll be bringing the best of it for you in the 5 o'clock hour. We have some audio crack slippers, and there's definitely some things that we can tie up from that conversation with Aaron Rodgers. As a texter just says, all I took away from that is, from Hub, Aaron Rodgers is a tool. Okay.
That was the headline. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, you're with us. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Made that crap up.
Strong stuff from Aaron Rodgers, Ty Dunn, and Hub Arkish. Bottom of the hour on the Score, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join the Big Ten West Division champion Northwestern Wildcats at Ryan Field this fall. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. We got a lot going on here. The White Sox are now trailing the Rays 8-5.
Right now they are.
Bottom of the eighth, two outs, 3-1 count. Adam Engel at the dish. It is bases loaded. It was 8-3. Eloy hit a single back up the middle, but it deflected off the pitcher's mound, and then a glove, and it was seeing eye single, if you will. Then Daniel Palka was coming up, and they pinch hit for him, and Rondon got up, and they walked him. This guy can't. What did Tanny just say? They can't find the play with the search party.
That's what he said. Yep.
So it's 8-5. White Sox.
Yoan Moncada having another nice day. Couple of hits, couple of runs scored, couple of runs driven in, including home run number 3.
Ricky's boys don't quit, so White Sox down 8-5. I didn't find Hub's characterization of Aaron Rodgers as a tool to be particularly fair, but I do like Aaron Rodgers, both what I know of him as a person and really like him as a football player. Hate that he's on the Packers, but respect him as a football player. What did you think about what Hub said? It felt personal almost.
Yeah, maybe. I think there are some people who get personal with these sort of things because you're talking about a guy's character, not his skill set.
That's what I'm talking about. All of this is very personal, right? Yeah. The Ty Dunn story.
Yeah, and I think Arkish Hub feels Mike McCarthy was slighted this past season.
Yeah.
Hub tends to be one who favors coaches. I tend to do the same myself. In McCarthy's case, I saw both sides of that one, but I'm sure he read the Bleacher Report story with delight because Aaron Rodgers did not come across real well.
No.
I'd not heard him come out that strong against him as he did right out of the chute, though.
Neither had I. And, I mean, to Hub's credit, he also said, he's like, listen, I'm not defending McCarthy there. He didn't come across very well in that story either. There were just axes to grind. And, you know, that's true. I tend to be more pro-player. I tend to side with the talent, the guy that I tune in to watch. And so that's Aaron Rodgers over Mike McCarthy, and my feelings on him are obviously well documented. But it is I thought the stuff with Rodgers' family, it always made me uncomfortable. That never felt like it was any of our business.
Well, we are a society and have been for decades, and it's more so now with social media being what it is, fascinated by celebrity life in America. Always have been. Never more so than now. And people tend to gravitate to the absurd and, you know, behavior that isn't typical, behavior that, for whatever it is, whether it's addiction or, you know, being a sex addict, being unfaithful, people tend to be drawn to those type of dramas. They're not pretty, but when you have a player who is as famous as Aaron Rodgers is, and he's estranged from family members, that's going to sell papers.
I know.
Actually, not literally anymore, because there are no papers, but that's going to create interest. People will say, huh, what? Aaron Rodgers, how could he not have a perfect relationship with mom and dad and brothers and sisters? Because he's human. Because they're human, too. Those things happen, whether you're a celebrity or not.
And sometimes because you're a celebrity, it actually makes it more likely.
It's very possible, yes.
Jealousy,
that could
money,
be part of this.
Distance, there's 100 factors. But the point
yeah,
to
but
me,
I'm not with Hub at all. I mean, there's plenty of reasons parents give kids to hate them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it just, everything we knew about it, right? If it was Rodgers with Olivia Munn. Two celebrities, no problem. Rodgers with Danica Patrick, two celebrities, no problem. When Jordan Rodgers tweets out that when there were the California wildfires, Aaron Rodgers allegedly didn't call to check on mom. It's like, wait, that's not my business.
He made it your business.
I guess. That's just
what's Aaron's brother's name?
Jordan.
Vanderbilt's finest. Yeah.
Yeah, he was on The Bachelor. He's trying to have a broadcast career.
SEC Network he's on. You can catch him on Saturdays. He's usually doing some studio work.
Are lower than pond scum, Jordan.
Jordan.
Is that your name? Jordan?
Like, why does he, why, like, I know it's personal. Please make this personal. But why else throw it out, I guess, is my question to you, because it's against the case of Rodgers?
Why else throw out what?
The idea of him not calling home when the damn whole state's on fire.
I don't know.
I don't have to call my parents.
Like, I don't know.
I know it's made and put in front of us. So you're right. I think I agree with you. It's not our business. Like, it's not Aaron Rodgers' relationship with his parents is not our business. But then when it's thrown out there,
it's offered to you.
Defense, I guess, of it is just dismissal of, okay, well, he could be in the wrong.
Oh, he absolutely could be in the wrong. I just don't, I don't know that he didn't call his mom.
Well,
that's what his brother says. If Jordan says it, it must be true, right?
But that's what I'm saying. So the guy who goes on The Bachelor, and a texter reminded me, because that was one of the seasons that I watched with my wife. I watched way too much of The Bachelor for my liking.
So sorry.
When they did the family visit and they set the table, and they set the table with the empty chair for Aaron. It's a television production. You knew he wasn't coming. You got to highlight that whole thing. It just feels so seedy.
Yes,
but to sell ratings,
sure. Whatever it takes.
I guess, but that part to me just never felt fair. I don't know what to tell you. Call it an arbitrary line. Call me a hypocrite. It never felt fair.
Any time a family member chooses to use media in whatever form it arrives, they make themselves part of the story, and we can consume it or not, but we're going to hear about it because people buzz over this sort of thing.
For sure. That is undeniably true. And speaking of football and celebrity, This is a beat that I am also not on. I have watched this show with my wife's trash television thoughts, but thankfully she is pulled back from Very Cavallari, Kristen Cavallari's reality TV show, which Jay Cutler is the best part of. But apparently, recently, Jay Cutler was on the show and just bombed out of his mind. And that is some audio that I think could lend some creative and comedic entertainment. So do we have time? Let's hear Jay Cutler drunk if we have it.
Jay literally wants to hide. He wants to go to bed.
Jay.
What's going on?
I actually don't really know.
So then tomorrow he'll be totally normal.
Mm-hmm, probably. Oh, you're back.
Oh, I thought we were hiding.
It's been a long day. I mean, we've all been drinking all day long, and it's very clear that Les Mis is here at this party. I never invite Les Mis anywhere, but sometimes he just comes. Welcome back, Les Mis. Where did we get this bottle of Cristal? Do you know?
It was there when I got here today.
Are you not talking tonight? So, that's what you're doing?
Pretty much gonna try not to, so...
Okay, cool. What kind of a mood are you gonna be in tonight, you think?
I'll give myself an 8.
Jay didn't stop drinking after bowling. And,
I don't really care about that. All I want to know about is Scoot.
We'd, lay in bed together, and he would, scoot closer throughout the night.
Oh, I scoot. Yeah. I do that.
Is there on this?
No,
is this table expensive?
We don't have a big dining room table like this at the new house.
You don't? You guys downsized?
Mm-hmm.
Are we out of money? Are we in an apartment now?
Jay's retired.
We're on a budget.
No, I know.
We're on a budget.
I'm the bread maker. The bread winner.
The bread maker.
Bread winner, yeah. She's the bread maker.
she's the bread spender. If Krista wants to buy something, she buys it. If there's something that we have to pay for, we pay for it.
Oh, wow.
Aww.
What's happening? I'm just a little confused as to what's been going on all night. I'm kind of disappointed in how it went.
Rightfully so. Wasn't my best effort.
Drunk Cutler.
God, I hope that they're making a ton of money from that show, because that looks brutal. It sounds brutal, and everything about it's brutal.
It's him unbridled. We want our athletes to be transparent, don't we? We want them to be themselves and let the freak flag fly if they possess one. And he does. He's.
I don't really care about that. All I want to know about is Scoot.
I'm the bread maker.
That's a good line.
Bread winner.
Whichever one. She spends
I'm
the money.
I'm a bread maker. What did she say to him at the beginning? She accused him of not talking to her, and he started to mumble something like, I'm trying to avoid. He's like, what's he saying? If I'm quiet to you, it's better than the alternative? Is that what he's saying? I employ that philosophy.
Les Mis is here at this party.
Les Mis.
I never invite Les Mis anywhere, but sometimes he just comes. Welcome back, Les Mis.
Les Mis, she calls
nickname.
Him. Yeah.
Les Mis. The picture of true love, the Cutlers.
Probably so. Wasn't my best effort.
Vaccinate your kid.
Yeah, that's good.
It all comes back to that.
You say you employ the be quiet, the silent treatment?
Yeah, if that's better than your words, yes. I think that's better when something's raw. I don't know what they were fighting about, but...
And no comments better than the wrong comments.
Right. You know what your mom told you. If you don't have anything good to say.
Yeah, don't say anything at all.
Mama never raised a talk show host, did she?
No, never. Look at that. You and Jay Cutler finding some common ground.
Yes, we do have common ground. Keep your mouth shut. Get your mouth shut, jerk. I tell myself that all the time.
Chris Tannehill's one shining moment at 5 on the score.
She's the bread spender. If Kristen wants to buy something, she buys it. If there's something that we have to pay for, we pay for it.
Can't tell you the text lines and everything just lights up. And people actually who have stopped me in the grocery store specifically have mentioned this segment as making them smarter and better football fans because of your insight. The Bernstein and McKnight show will grab you a nice big expensive piece of meat somewhere.
And I'll come to Chicago for business and we can go to Gibson's and you guys can buy me a steak.
Sage Rosenfels.
He's been great all season.
Amazing resource.
You learn a lot. Like the little things to look for in Mitch's day that you didn't, you watch through it and it washes over you.
Washing all over you if you're a Connor McKnight and Dan Bernstein sitting down talking X's and O's with Sage Rosenfels. But that's during the football season.
Oh, this is their time to shine, Mac. It's baseball season.
It is the 9th of April, and that means baseball season, and that means Bernstein and McKnight have a new Tuesday morning regular. He is baseball numbers guy Joe Sheehan.
That's right.
You may have heard Bernstein reading his columns over the years right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
His newsletter. It's very exclusive. Right to your inbox.
You did not catch this earlier today,
no,
correct?
I have no idea.
You're going to be hearing this. It's going to feel like the first time.
It's going to wash all over me.
I want you to let this wash all over you. It's not baseball math today, though.
Okay.
It's not math. Something else that's not typical in conversation among most folks regarding baseball will wash all over you, though. Let's find out what it is with Joe Sheehan.
We talked to Jonah Carey at the end of last week after Rob Arthur published what he did regarding these slippery baseballs, and the data's there. We saw it, that the drag coefficient is down again. Baseballs are slipping through the air. We're curious, and this was had to do with after Kyle Hendricks' start, where he was not getting movement on his sinker. He was not getting movement on his changeup with the downward rotation. What do we know about the slippery ball and its effect on pitches and not just batted balls?
Yeah, slippery is, I feel like you're talking about grip there. And what we're talking about here is drag, air resistance. Mm-hmm. And what Rob Arthur found is that the balls look like they did 2 years ago, where they're just not decelerating as much on the way to the plate, which is means they're not decelerating as much when they're hit. Now, that should, projecting this, you know, affect breaking balls, right? Breaking balls are entirely about air resistance. This is the strangest conversation for sports radio. I love your show, guys.
He's going to let that show with two math geeks and physics geeks wash all over him every Tuesday.
Bernsey, we all have our passions, right? I wanted Mike McCarthy gone. Bernsey's passion is proving that he was right about the baseball being slightly different.
Slippery, yes. Yeah. Drag coefficient. It's physics washing all over
it's
you.
It's juiced. It's a juiced ball.
It's sliding through the air. I noticed that yesterday when the Cubs were just pounding Pirates pitching. They said, man, that ball looks slippery today.
I watched a few innings in the stands with Bernsey, Lawrence, and Connor.
Did he make that observation? Well, look at that slippery ball, Danny. Drag coefficient.
There was a fly out to left field, and he just turns to us. He goes, that ball came off that bat like a golf ball. It just flew out there. It was just ping. It just flew. Just took off. I'm like, I don't know. It looked like a
fly ball at a major league park to me.
Fly out to left.
The strangest conversation for sports radio. I love your show, guys.
I love your show, fellas. Well, birds of a feather flocking together every Tuesday with national baseball writer Joe Sheehan on the Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Bernstein is right, though.
Yeah.
Like, just watching, just throw on a random game. And it's like ball off the end of the bat. Oh, how the hell did that get to the warning track? It's not even the home runs. It's like multiple times a game you see.
I'm fine with it.
Mini second baseman nub one. You're like, how did that ball go that far?
Whatever baseball can do to get more people watching. People like runs. They like seeing runs scored. The games are longer. Shep taught me that last year when I had my vocal cord paralysis. I was listening to the show one day, and Shep said, base runners lengthen games. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's right about that. But people like seeing runs scored, don't they?
Oh, I don't think anyone's even discussing whether or not it's a problem. And I think that those guys sound awesome during baseball season.
Strikeouts are way up too, though.
Right, it's going to be another record setting.
Drag coefficient. It's that curveball snapping like an effing firecracker.
Don't fear intelligence. Those guys are smart, man.
I don't fear it. I'm not fearing it.
I mean, I tell you, there's different strokes for different folks, and baseball brings it out of people better than anyone else.
I'm promoting it for them, man. I'm happy to let everybody know. If you like drag coefficients, Joe Sheehan's a part of our staff.
Shep said it last week. He's like, those guys they sound great during baseball season. They love the minutiae of baseball in a way that a ton of baseball fans really do. That show sounds like baseball.
I forgot to note this too earlier to get that stuff cut up. Joe Sheehan lives between a fire station and a hospital. There are going to be sirens on during his call. He promised that every Tuesday. It happened today.
Really?
Yeah, it happened today. He goes, I live between a fire station and a hospital, so get used to it.
Here's doesn't have a dog by chance that can bark in the background while he's at it.
Stop by Brian Billick's house.
Hopefully we all live somewhere between a hospital and a fire station.
Very, very close. Very, very. You heard sirens loud and proud and clear as a bell, and I would strongly recommend you get off the deck. Maybe go in the basement. Maybe he's got a cell issue in his house.
Get a
could
hard line.
Have a cell issue. Get a hard line. There you have it.
I don't know.
Get a slipperier phone.
Drag coefficient.
Yeah, you got to get that.
Well, you know what our show knows with that information, right?
Ish.
We bet overs.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's what our show does.
This is the dopey show. This is the guys who took earth science to so we could get all of the credits in high school. You had to have so many science classes. I got pancaked and everything like that.
I took physics in summer school because my buddy had to retake physics because he got caught stealing the final, even though he had a 96% in physics. He just did it because it was there. They caught him, so they failed him and made him redo the class in summer school. It's like, I'll take physics with you so that I could just be with
you. Cheat off you.
So I could cheat off
perfect,
you.
Right? Yeah. He knows the game.
Yeah, it was amazing. But yeah, God, smartest kid in the class stole the final. One moment of stupidity.
What was he thinking there?
The teacher left it up on the computer, and it was just a crime of opportunity.
Guaranteeing himself the highest score.
Crime of opportunity and stupidity. Can't fix dumb.
Yeah.
Well, one of my best friends, but yeah. Man, that was a
still,
stupid.
Yeah,
all the time. We're hanging out this weekend.
Okay, but cool.
Yeah, he's just a moron.
What a horrible thing to do in the summer. Spend it in physics class?
It sucked.
Oh, God.
It sucked.
I bet.
4 days a week of physics, and we would just, you know, golf and hang out after that. But yeah, it was, I got an A cheating off of him. So
perfect.
It was useful.
One man's misfortune is another man's pot of gold.
Tanny's one shining moment, a tradition unlike any other on this station, leading into the best of Joe Madden. And if you think Mac hates baseball numbers, just wait for 30 minutes from now. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
This is the strangest conversation for sports radio. I love your show, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.